Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Bethany Frankel here from Just Be with Bethany Frankel, and I am just going to say it. The drinks aisle needs an intervention. Bottles, cans, all promising health and wellness. But after a glug, you just shrug. Then there's Synergy Kombucha, real kombucha. Synergy supports mind and body through your gut with 9 billion probiotics. Yep, 9 billion probiotics. Can you even count that high? In flavors you will love. No hype, just quality, taste, and real benefits. That's kombucha made the right way. Don't chase fads. Choose standards. DM at Synergy Kombucha on Instagram with the code TheRealKombucha to get a free bottle while supplies last. Synergy, the kombucha with standards.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, January 23rd. And this year has been so long so far.
I feel like I've aged about 10 years since January 1st.
And in multiple different places, I've seen people asking, am I the only one that's inordinately tired? And I was wondering that myself. And it, based on these posts, I'm not the only one. Like, I was like, I feel like the life's just being sucked out of us like that machine on A Princess Bride where they're like, 1 year of your life has been sucked away.
Dude, yeah. I think it's natural. We're all emotionally drained, so that can catch up to you fast.
Absolutely. You know what? It's one thing after another, but we're here to talk about some odd but true stories, some of them having to do with what's going on in this crazy world, whether it's the last episodes that we've done, the last two, or the true crime we see on our televisions every day when we tune into the news.
Yeah, this first one is very timely as I was watching a bunch of stuff last night from people in Minnesota that's like, it's worse than you even think it is.
I've taken to watching Der Spiegel and the Korean news channels coverage of it because I think even our mainstream media isn't, whether they can't get to it or on purpose they're not covering it, whatever it is, the raw coverage of it is jaw-dropping, and the other countries are just like, they're reporting on us how we've reported on them for so long, where they're like savage law enforcement officers. Yeah. And you're like, they're not wrong.
No. And today, a five-year-old little boy was used as bait to lure his father out of his home so ICE could take both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine a more low-life piece of shit that would sign up to do that. So, fuck everyone. And I mean this with every fiber of my being. Fuck you, ICE. Fuck anyone that's involved in it. Fuck you if you support it. It is modern day Gestapo, and let's just hope it doesn't come here. But guess what? I can't imagine that St. Paul is the only place this is going to happen. So I think, like you said, countries are reporting on us how we've reported on them. For so many years, we've watched the news and we're like, well, but that's not the United States. Mm-hmm. That can never happen here. Guess what? It can, and it has, and it is, and it's coming to your city imminently. So prepare yourselves, keep yourselves safe, and look out for others.
Truly. I mean, just to think about how far we've come since 2016, since this administration first, you know, 45, and the erosion of our civil liberties that began way back in like 9/11. There was just a little by little, and everyone would kind of say, I can't believe it's almost as if we're losing our Fourth Amendment rights just inch by inch. My law review comment in 2014 was about Customs and Border Protection taking steps that were beyond what was constitutionally valid. And I just read that and thought, oh, child, if you were to see the news today where they're going door to door, which is facially unconstitutional, where there have been internal memos leaked that said, you know, regardless of the fact that legally you have to have a judicially signed warrant, just kick the door in with a nice admin warrant. It's crazy to me. So when you said, fuck everybody who, seriously, if you voted for this initially, there's never too late to go, oh God, well, I didn't mean that. And if you did mean that, then yes, then we don't have anything in common, because no. I can't reason with you if you feel that deep disregard for human life. It's just human beings. It's human life. And yes. Dan Bonvina or whatever his name is, dressing up like a Nazi with his little coat on and running around and doing his little hand signals. If you see that guy in the street, make fun of him, because that's about all he deserves.
And that uniform is chosen on purpose.
Yes,
and
certainly.
The New York Times milk mustache, chosen on purpose. All of these are dog whistles. And if you're the one answering those calls, then you're part of the problem. And I'm not above calling you a Nazi. And it's real fucking sad, because people in my own circle fall under the category of, why aren't I hearing you speak out about this?
Yeah.
Why did I hear you speak out about other things, but I haven't heard you say shit about this? And it makes me think twice about a lot of people in my life.
It does make you question someone's integrity. They can look at violence being done so senselessly and unconstitutionally. I'm like, let's all just agree on one thing. We have constitutional rights. We should care about those. That's a common ground.
Well, but it's like, a lot of people are like, yeah, if you're white.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the problem.
If you're white like me.
Yeah. I don't have that restriction. I think everybody, if you're on American soil, if your feet are touching the ground, you're protected under a constitution. That's why it was such a magical place. And I'm sad to use a past tense verb when I say was such a magical place. It is an embarrassment to currently be from the United States. I hope our allies understand we're not bloodthirsty for Greenland. It sounds like our demented president isn't anymore either. Someone shook a shiny object in his face and he's distracted by something else. So let's hope that none of that shiny objects lead to a nuclear war or some other type of horrific violence beyond what we've already seen. But thanks to our listeners who've sent us not just Freaky Friday, but sent us messages on Instagram, DMs or whatever, saying it really is dire. Like, I'm from a rural area outside of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and entire families are being taken. Kids are coming home from school to find that their parents are gone. Now what do they do?
Yelling out when they're being kidnapped, yelling out to strangers videoing their name and where their kid goes to school. Mm-hmm, so a stranger can call their child's school so they don't go home to an empty fucking house. Think about that. Mm-hmm. And if you are okay with that, regardless of the color of someone's skin, what happened in your life to make you like that? Because I truly don't think we're born with those things inside of us. Racism, hatred, bigotry, sexism. You're taught that. You learn that from someone. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting so worked up because I just, it's really, it's difficult. And I'm grappling with a lot of family that doesn't maybe think the way I think. And I'm just like, how some things I'm like, okay, you know, liberals, conservatives, whatever, we're going to disagree on a couple things, but like This is like basic human dignity. And if you're okay with seeing children being zip tied while their parents are being drug away by masked men who have no authority other than literally a 6-minute interview that's mm-hmm. like, hey, are you good? Are you okay to shoot like queer people in the head 3 times? Yeah, sure. Cool. Here's a gun and have at it. And that's the qualifications. These people don't know how to do things legally and they don't care. And they've been given carte blanche to do whatever they want. And I hope that everyone that doesn't agree with the fact that ICE should be abolished and has no place, I hope you're not touched by that personally. And if you are, I hope that you finally come to fucking see the light. And it shouldn't take that. It shouldn't take like, well, my son was taken for me to give mm-hmm. a shit. You know, mm-hmm. we should all give a shit because we're just human beings.
Truly. And I wonder where the all lives matter people are, because uh-huh. these are lives too, uh-huh. as well as blue lives matter. When you seen the chief of police of one of the suburbs around Minneapolis saying tons of off-duty police officers have been grabbed by ICE because they are people of color. Not mm-hmm. one of them was white. So to the extent you give a shit about our folks in blue, back the blue, well, they're not getting backed because their asses are getting pulled over and harassed and they have to show their badge in order to be let go. And to the extent you're pro-life and you think every life is precious, I agree. I think every child on a playground deserves to play freely without the director of ICE, Greg Bovino, throwing HC gas, which is, I believe, a violation of the Geneva Convention, towards a playground area where children are present. So that's what you back. So that's what I'm saying. Just at least be like, I don't like that anymore. But it's
or fucking own it. Mm-hmm. So we all like, if let me this know is you're what a you believe in,
yes.
be proud of it.
Yes.
Be a proud boy. Be a proud woman. Whatever the fuck you are. Don't hide behind like, well, I just don't get political. Fuck that. We are way beyond that. Everything is political. And yep. if you can say I don't get political, then you are privileged.
Yeah.
Period. Stop. However, if you are using that same privilege as an excuse to not get involved in this conversation, then to me, you're on the wrong side. The only people that are silent, in my opinion, are on the wrong side of history.
It is, yeah. I mean, I think it's, you mark it down. We are in the history book time right now. Technically, is it World War III? Some are saying, not to sound like the president, some have said it's World War III, some are saying. But I mean, it's like when the rubber meets the road, when they write it in the history books that mass violent kidnappings were happening in the street, I will be proud to tell the kids in my life mm-hmm. when I'm old and go, well, we did what we talked about it on the podcast and I volunteered. I tried to protest. I tried these other things. And, you know, this is how they were defeated or whatever. And maybe other people will lie to their kids and go, yeah, I was upset about it. I spoke out about it. And you just live that lie, I guess. Or say you something say, maybe it ends no, earlier. Yeah,
that was right. You know what? Great. And you, 8-year-old, should also think that all black and brown people don't deserve rights. And that's how hatred continues and spreads. You're yeah. brought up with it. It's never too late to change. If this is too much for you and you're like, don't let your pride get in the way of being a humanitarian and looking at these videos and this news and not scrolling past because it's too much. Bear witness to it, because when it comes to your town, maybe you'll know a little bit more what to do or what to expect and not be completely blindsided.
That's true. And for everybody that already is like, I know I don't want to do this. I saw a sociologist saying, you know, we feel so sad if we are not out helping and doing something concrete, because she said we've got a lot of energy pent up with nowhere for it to go. Mm-hmm. And she's like, truly being able to take that energy and alchemize it and turn it into good works in your community. So shout out to everybody in Minnesota who's grocery shopping for their neighbors who mm-hmm. don't feel comfortable, for covering shifts for your coworkers who don't feel comfortable coming in, doing pickup and drop off for families who don't feel comfortable doing that, because those little small things are the things that add up to creating the resistance. Literally, it's not a, no one's going to like send you a text and be like, here's your job. It's a nebulous concept and you have to get in where you fit in and asking other people who are already doing the good work is always a good way to do it. But, and shout out to everybody who's like, I'm never going to listen to your podcast again because you
fuck
spoke
off.
Out.
I don't give a shit.
That sounds like more punishment for you than for me because I think this is a lovely show. We have a good time on here most of the time. So
sorry, I'm on one right now. I mean, I think people that are like, I'm not listening anymore. Okay, you probably stopped a while ago. Like, I don't know. We've never hidden how we feel. And as the political climate has intensified, so has our outspokenness, which to me only makes sense. Yeah. Like, if we were to stop expressing our views, the worse things get, then we're part of the problem.
Yeah, then that's how you know the FBI got to us.
Yeah. I got threatened. If we stop saying things, then just know a knock came on the door. And even then?
No, I would talk about it.
I would too.
I'd upload the Ring footage. I'd love for you all to see it. No, I'm trying to do some training so I can accompany folks to hearings. So if anybody also has any information on that in the DFW area, feel free to email it to us because I want to use the law license for good. And, you know, fuck it. My boss, I don't think, would fire me if I happened to get arrested.
Who's your boss?
I think both of us.
We're our own bosses.
And you guys,
I'm not going to fire myself.
Yeah, you guys are the ones listening. Y'all are our bosses.
Truly. Yeah. Well, hopefully you haven't fired us. And everything that we believe and say comes from a place of compassion, empathy, and our personal beliefs on what's right and what's not going to make this country just become a third world nation where, you know, everybody flees and nobody feels safe anymore.
It is a scary precipice that we're dancing on. I think Mark Carney, the Prime Minister of Canada, had a lot of good stuff to say in his speech. And I don't know about good, but prescient and clear. Mm. So what a world we're all living in. But we're going through it together. And part of surviving is telling stories from this world. So that end, I think understanding that you're not alone in how you feel and you're not alone in what you're going through and that there are one way to reach out is to tell what's happening. Just say what's true.
Share your stories like we're going to do today. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. Well, as we've been talking about everything in Minnesota, this first one is from Stacy, who lives there, and is called From the Front Lines. Hello to my favorite podcast ladies in our wonderful Sinister community. I'm writing from the beautiful North Star State, Minnesota, more specifically St. Paul, the front lines. The videos and headlines you've seen paint a scary picture. I wish I could tell you they're exaggerated. They aren't. If anything, the reality on the ground is worse. Over the past few weeks, I've been working alongside other parents at my daughter's school to do everything we can to keep our kids and their families safe, organizing parent patrols, coordinating rides, collecting donations, and building support systems wherever possible. We've also had to stay vigilant because ICE has been showing up near schools, sometimes posing as members of the press or as, quote, concerned parents, trying to gather information about how communities are protecting their children. The Twin Cities Metro is a tight-knit place. We are Minnesota strong. We love all of our neighbors, and we will continue to stand up for them. Please send us every good vibe you've got. We truly need them. My heart breaks daily for friends who are afraid to leave their homes, who keep their passports and medications on their bodies, even inside their own houses, because ICE has been going door to door. Last week, when I picked up my 5-year-old from school, before she even got in the car, she said, "I've got bad news. They're taking mommies and daddies away. I need to get home and set up traps for them." No 5-year-old should be carrying that kind of fear. In no world is this okay. I hope this is where it stops and that no other communities have to experience this. But please be prepared if it comes to your doorstep. What we're seeing is undertrained enforcement leaving devastation in its wake. Sending love from the North, Stacy. P.S. Attached is a photo of my 5-year-old at a neighborhood protest with our dog, Violet. Because even in fear, we're teaching our kids what standing up looks like.
Stacy, I'm so sorry you have to not only tell your kid that, but help try to quell their fear. That's extremely real.
Being a parent is really hard right now. Mm-hmm. It's like living two different realities. Mm-hmm. One where, and Stacey, your kid is seeing this on the front line, so they're not as shielded from it. Here, that isn't happening yet, mm-hmm. and our kids don't watch the news. They've heard bits and pieces and stuff, but it's like you're trying to be a parent and go to play dates and have birthday parties and just like all this stuff. At the same time, like the other half of my brain is thinking about all this stuff. It's a real mind fuck right now.
No, absolutely. But I think good for you, Stacey, for not only standing up for your rights and still protesting and all this. I told my therapist that the other day. I was like, I'll go to protest. I don't give a fuck what happens to me. I said, I'd rather die than stay at home and be like, I don't know, I might get hurt at a protest, because you've already lost, you know? So I'm very glad that you are still asserting your First Amendment rights and all the stuff you're doing for the folks in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's literally how to survive an onslaught like this is parent patrols, ride sharing, donations, support systems, all that kind of stuff, making sure people are fed. Because the schools, some of the schools are online school. They're canceled. I mean, that's serious, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something that is historic that's currently happening. And I'm sorry, Stacey, if not everyone in the U.S. at least, or even the, all that to say, the world, I think, should have their eyes on what's happening in the United States right now, specifically Minnesota, which I think was targeted mostly because you guys are such a cohesive community.
Yeah. No, you're right. This is going to be in the history books, and it's weird to be living through a time where I don't even know how to explain it. You're like, you know that this is going to be a huge thing. You know you're living mm-hmm. in like a huge historical time. And you feel almost like paralyzed or mm-hmm. what do I do? Because when you learned about the Holocaust in school, who among us was like, well, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Or like, you know, I would have liked to live back then.
Yeah. You're like, no. Oh my God, if I had been there, I would have been hiding people in my house. Guess what? That's happening right now, today. Mm-hmm. I'd be, you know, creating documentation for people or helping them leave. That's all still happening. Like this, all the stuff that was happening then, including camps, is going on right now. Mm-hmm. So if you watched it all play out in Germany through your history books and through films and were appalled, where is that same level of appall now?
No, truly. And the idea that people just have to continue living their lives during trying times is true. I mean, that is part of it, right? Is that your eyes are almost glazed over from the shocking news. And I've recently been reading a lot of nonfiction from like the late 60s, from, you know, the time after JFK was assassinated, MLK, RFK, these assassinations that made a lot of people feel really hopeless, as well as ramping up of the Vietnam War. And it was like, it's never been this bad. And like, what do we even do? And it's fascinating to hear extremely smart people, Joan Didion, Larry McMurtry, essentially saying like, almost, I don't even know what to do. So I'm just going to do what I can do best, which is to tell you about it and to talk about it. And I think it goes back to that. When you don't know what to do at all, what can you bring to the table? And just bring whatever it is you can bring to the table, and rest assured that that's enough. And rest assured that we're not the first people to ever have to weather something like this. And things like this are weatherable. And they're only weatherable when we have connections to each other and when we get each other through it together. I mean, you got to share the umbrella as much as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stacey, you are doing just that. So thank you all so much. We are definitely sending you all the good vibes we can. And Stacey makes a very good point that when this comes to your doorstep, be prepared.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost at our doorstep. I mean, it's happening in Texas. We're having immigrants die in these facilities, including mm-hmm. the Cuban immigrant who was in, I believe, the El Paso facility, that his cause of death has been ruled homicide due to asphyxia. So not an accident, not natural causes. They're murdering him.
Somebody
in the camps. And I think that's probably not the first or the last. So
no. And even people, women especially citizens, non-citizens getting taken in, even if it's for 12 hours and you're released. There's reports of sexual assault coming out of holding cells, camps, wherever they're taking you. All the terrible things that terrible people want to do. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, anyone that works for ICE is a terrible person. They're getting to do all of that with zero consequences. Yeah. As far as the government goes, if the general public wants to give consequences, that's a different story.
No, it's true. And yeah, you're right. The he was one of three that were killed in a span of several weeks at this facility, Camp East Montana. So something we should all keep our eyes on. One more piece of news we all got to keep watching. But it's true, though, the way that they're, it's not that, well, we're just going to pick them up and take them to court for their moment in court. It's like, no, you're being shipped off and severely abused, in some cases killed.
Yeah. Yeah. And traumatized. I mean, Certainly. The trauma that so many people are going to have, currently have from this, and are going to have children, people that are in camps, people that got released. I mean, this whole thing is a similar to kind of the pandemic, like this global trauma that we're all sharing.
Absolutely. So again, thank you, Stacey, for writing in your story, and for all the other Stacey's out there that are doing all you can and just trying to raise your kids and swim through this muck. Thank you for sticking with us.
Definitely.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You've heard us talk about Hungry Root before, so you already know how much we love it because it really does simplify our lives. It's been a game changer for saving time with meal planning and doing the food shopping for us.
Hungry Root makes healthy eating effortless by planning your meals, stocking your cart, and delivering everything you need each week. I mean, I don't want to do any of those things. So if somebody will do all three of them for me, yes, please. And it's all tailored to your dietary preferences, health goals, and budget. The personalization is unmatched, and they take care of the guesswork so you can just enjoy your meals. With over 50,000 chef-crafted recipes, many ready in under 15 minutes, and over 1,000 grocery items from smoothies and salad kits to sweets and supplements, it's easy to find food that fits your lifestyle.
Quality is a top priority too. Hungry Root screens out over 200 additives and only works with trusted, clean label brands. You'll find high quality meat and seafood with no hormones or antibiotics, organic produce and non-GMO options from names like Vital Farms, Ithaca Hummus, and Harmless Harvest. And if your New Year's goal is to eat better, Hungry Root makes it actually stick. Even as February and March roll around and resolutions fade, this is one healthy habit that's easy to keep. I love that you can customize it and it can help you choose your cart, and then you can go in and switch things out. But sometimes I get overwhelmed that I'm like, I can't read and see if this is going to be gluten-free. I can't, you know, have, I don't really eat meat so much anymore. I eat fish. I'm like, I just tell it all that. Boom. Mm-hmm. My cart's planned for me. And then we can go swap if we want. Most of the time we just let them send what they have though, because I like it. I don't want to think.
That Ithaca hummus is good. The banana bites dipped in dark chocolate are such a good late night sweet treat. I love a late night sweet treat. And
decadent too.
They hit so good. Yeah, they are decadent. And something I've never seen before. That's what I love, is I get things introduced to me that I never knew about. And now I'm like, oh, now I get to order this all the time. And I love it.
It introduces me to good brands that make me feel good when I eat them too.
You're going to love Hungry Root as much as we do. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/creepy and use code creepy. That's hungryroot.com/creepy, code creepy, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. Well, along the same lines of sticking up for people, this next one is from Kristen and is called Assault at a Shoe Store. Hi, ladies. Thanks for all you do, and let's get into it. My name is Kristen, and I live in Tennessee. I am a tiny blue dot in a sea of red, unfortunately. This happened to me and my family around August of 2025. It was back to school shopping time, and my two boys, 8 and 11, needed new tennis shoes. So off we went to the nearby Skechers outlet in my town. The kids section of this store is in the back of the store. So I'm there with my boys checking out the shoes when all of a sudden we hear yelling. I look up and see an older white man screaming at the employee trying to check him out. Next, he starts cussing him up one side and down the other. I have at this point gathered my boys to me and cover their ears so they don't have to hear this man's vitriol. I'm also checking for exits and seeing who else is around me, a grandfather and his teenage granddaughter. Once the man starts throwing stuff and threatening to beat the employee's ass, I get closer to the exit with my boys and pull up my phone and call 911. I was monitoring the situation at first, but once he started threatening violence, all bets were off. And while I couldn't intervene safely as I had my two kids with me, I could call in the police to help, whom I always try not to involve unless I have to. The employee was the most composed man I have ever seen in this situation. He kept calm and never yelled and just told the man to leave. And when the customer threatened violence, he told the man under no certain terms that he was not to put his hands on him and to leave his store now. I'm relaying this all to the police while making sure to keep my boys close in case we need to duck or run, as I have no idea if this man has a weapon or not. Finally, after what feels like forever, the older man leaves and gets into a large pickup truck, because of course he drives a giant-ass truck. I get off the phone with the police, who say they will send someone out to talk to the employee, and I wait for a bit to make sure the man isn't coming back before leaving with my kids. As I am leaving, the employee is on the phone with whom I believe is his manager, and I stop to speak to him to let him know the cops should be coming out to talk to him soon. He ends his call, and this gem of a human being, after the trauma he has just gone through, the first thing out of his mouth is him asking if my kids are okay. I assure him they are and thank him for keeping everyone safe. At this point, he is near tears, and I ask him if I could give him a hug, and he can't even get words out at this point, so he just nods yes. I hugged him so hard, thanking him for everything he did, and told him that whatever that man said wasn't true, and that he was a vile, awful man, and he didn't deserve to have that happen to him, and he is an amazing person, and I was so thankful to him. This employee was a black man with rainbow pins all around his lanyard, so I can only imagine the racist, bigoted vitriol that this backwater hick said to him. I am so thankful to that man for defusing the situation and hope that my words and hug offered a modicum of comfort after what he went through. After we left, my boys naturally had questions, which led to a very long conversation. They didn't hear what the man said as I had covered their ears, but asked why the guy was yelling and throwing things. I told them I wasn't sure, but that whatever his reasoning was, it didn't matter, because no one should ever treat another person that way, and that that man was a bully, and bullies, ultimately, are cowards, and when confronted, he did what cowards do, and he ran. I told them that if they encounter this situation, to stand up for people if they can, safely, and if not, call in people to help, and to always respond to people with kindness. This is what I hope they learned that day, is that their mom, when encountering a situation like this, in the end responded with kindness and empathy for the employee and tried to help.
What a core memory for your kids, I'm sure. That's a core memory for everyone there. Yeah, for everyone. And I'm sure the employee as well. But that's the kind of thing as a kid, you know, 35 years later, they say something. They're like, I don't know. I was in that store that one time. And my mom's like, we're going to stick around and call the mm-hmm. cops and make sure this guy's okay. Like, you know, maybe you don't bust in and get into a fist fight with some guy. Like you said, you don't know if he's packing. But the fact that you're like, I am watching and there will be a witness and I will call in somebody. It's all you can do in that situation.
Yeah. And if I was this employee, to know a customer was sticking around and mm-hmm. like witnessing what was going on and was on the phone on my behalf, like trying to get me help, that would go so far. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to like, I'm dealing with this on my own and you're in a situation where you're an employee and we've been taught for so long, like, well, you can't confront customers. A lot of that has just gone out the fucking window these days and people nowadays, don't give a shit.
Seriously.
And I'm all for it. If somebody wants to cuss at you and throw shit at you at a Skechers
because
you're black and have rainbow pins on, then whatever you need to throw or say back, I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll jump behind you for real. No, truly, I'm happy to see that it is less and less just, well, the customer's always right, so you have to let them verbally abuse you. And more mm-hmm. often, managers or employees themselves being like, get out of here. No, mm-hmm. get the hell out of here. So it is, like Christy said, it goes a long way just to have another human just existing in the space being like, I yeah. see you. I notice what's happening to you. It makes your own fight or flight somewhat calm down of like, well, at least I'm not in this completely alone. But it's yeah. terrifying, especially when somebody is so unhinged that they're yelling about Skechers shoes. What are you doing? Yelling about, just get you a pair of shoes and move on, my man. There's what about the shoe place could ever, like, it's one thing to be like, my wife was on life support and you pulled the plug before she was ready and you killed her. Maybe you scream then if there's a mistake. But if what, they brought you the wrong shoe size, like what?
Oh, I don't think it's about the shoes.
No, I'm sure it was
not. I think it's about the gay black man that was ringing the shoes up.
Yeah.
And if you feel that way, then you don't get to have shoes. You
can go out of Skechers.
You don't get to have Skechers. Stay at home, you racist piece of shit.
Yeah, for real. Well, I'm glad for that employee that you were there, Kristen, and I'm glad for your kids that they've got a great mom to look up to. And it's definitely, that's the type of lesson as a kid that I feel like my mom did stuff like that, you know, where she actually stopped and talked to a lady protesting one time. And I remember her being like, what are you protesting? The lady told her mom, was like, good for you. You should be out here. Like, I would be too. She got ripped off by a place and was out protesting in the front. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this, at first I was like, it's so embarrassing that you're stopping. And my mom's like, well, I wanted to tell her that I supported her. And, you know, I wanted to know what was going on. And that really went a long way in my head as a kid. So I'm sure for your kids, they're going to see all of the ways that you care and that, you know, that you are an impassioned, justice-minded person. And they will be raised
and
to be the
drop
same thing.
A lot of F-bombs.
Exactly.
And we've had to have, mommy's had to tone her language down because Tommy was like, Ella, you can't keep saying that. Well, mommy says it. And then Tommy, my husband, goes, it's one of mommy's favorite words.
First of all,
it is. But also, you know, it feels good to say it sometimes.
That's
but
fine.
Yeah, they definitely, I mean, she's already been on the playground telling people Trump sucks. So she's something stuck, I guess.
I told you, my mom's best friend told me you can only say the F word when you've been driving a car, because that's when you'll know the true anger. When someone cuts you off, you motherfucker. She said, or if you drop something really heavy, like a large can of Wolf Brand chili on your foot, something like that. If it's a pain, like.
But she that goes, warrants a fuck.
But she said, yeah. If you stub your toe, that's not really enough. She said, you're not really using it right, Heather. And I was like, oh God, I better not. I wasn't allowed to, you know, but that was the chili can was like my test.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the remote's missing.
No.
Okay. Because where the fucking remote is has been a sentence that I've heard repeated back to me by young mouse.
Where's the fucking remote? The sucky thing is, it's so funny though. It's hilarious to hear a kid say that. But
and
not.
It's funny too how, and really I've only heard it from Ella. No, that's not true. I've heard Simon. But I guess the way I shorten it a lot to just fucking instead of, because they'll be like, I don't fucking something. And I'm like, you're not even saying fucking. You're just saying like, fuck it. It's just like I don't want everyone to think my kids are running around saying this all the time, because they're not. And we've had to talk with them.
I was going
to
say,
we don't get on to them about, unless they're using it in a derogatory way towards someone or about someone. We don't really get on to them about that kind of stuff.
That's
there's more things I got to worry about than if my kid's dropping an F-bomb.
It's true. And you know what? Sometimes it's warranted. Ella's like, did you see this fucking president?
I'm like, yeah, fuck him, right?
Oh, kiddo.
Oh, man. Well, both these first two stories, you moms are doing great.
Hell yeah. Sinister Hood will be right back. Well, you've ruined me for the rest of my life. I will never accept anything less than the softness, the decadence, the texture of the Boll & Branch sheets. And it sounds like I need to upgrade my blanket game, too.
Ooh, the waffle blanket is so good. It's going to be so cold this weekend, and I am stoked about just laying in bed with my Boll & Branch sheets and my Boll & Branch blanket and my Boll & Branch duvet and duvet cover and just chilling, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. All of that sounds so good. Boll & Branch's signature sheets and waffle bed blanket are the ultimate bedding duo. They're crafted from 100% organic cotton and loved by millions for good reason. The signature sheets are buttery soft, and they get softer with every wash. The waffle blanket, it's lightweight warmth with a plush, springy texture. And together, they create a breathable, cozy sleep experience you can enjoy year-round. With over 300 mix-and-match color combinations, artisan-quality craftsmanship, and a 30-night worry-free guarantee, this is comfort you can count on season after season.
They're not kidding with those buttery soft sheets. I truly, you know, you get a little skeptical, and I thought there's no way they're going to get better with time, and they just do. I'm not trying to strip a bed and wash the sheets, but when I do, I'm like, it's all right, baby. They're going to be even nicer when I put them back on. Discover a softness beyond your wildest dreams with Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order, plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com/creepy with code creepy.
That's Boll & Branch, BOLLAND branch.com/creepy, code creepy to unlock 15% off. Exclusions apply. Well, we have some new lore that has come up. If you recall, several Freaky Fridays ago, we had someone send one in who referenced their bestie, Jamie One Lung.
Yes.
Today, we have an actual submission from Jamie One Lung herself.
Jamie One Lung's in the house.
To drop some lore on how she got this nickname. It's called The Freaky Experience Behind Jamie One Lung, but sent in by Jamie One Lung. And Jamie writes, "Hey ladies, I've been listening to you forever, and I finally binged enough episodes to catch up on the podcast. Now I actually have to wait for new episodes. I'm officially in withdrawals. I even got my best friend hooked, and she sent in her own Freaky Friday episode and mentioned me. I figured it was finally time to send in my own story. When I was 31, I suddenly got sick. I assumed it was the flu, body aches, fever, the usual. But after a week, I wasn't getting any better. I was pushing through it, even driving my husband to the airport. On my way home, something told me to stop at urgent care. Even though I wasn't coughing, they suggested a chest x-ray. When the results came back, everything changed. There was a large mass in my left lung. The doctor was extremely concerned and told me to go straight to the ER. At the hospital, a CT scan showed the mass was likely malignant. I was admitted for the weekend because it had blocked part of my lower airways and caused a massive pneumonia. On Monday, I had a lung biopsy and was later sent home. Later that week, I went in for the results. I was told I had a rare form of cancer that typically grows in the intestines, but in about 1% of cases, it shows up in the lung. I was referred to a specialty cancer hospital, where further testing confirmed the diagnosis. The doctors told me I was incredibly lucky. The cancer hadn't spread and was contained in one solid mass. I wouldn't need chemo or radiation, just surgery. However, because of the location, they would have to remove my entire left lung. 2 weeks later, I was in surgery. The waiting period was terrifying, but oddly, the day of the operation, I felt calm. The last thing I remember is the anesthesiologist placing a mask over my face as I was moved onto the surgical table. The first few days afterward are mostly a blur from the medication. But one moment stands out clearly. The first night, I woke up alone in my room in the ICU. My family had gone home for the evening. In the doorway, I saw my grandmother and grandfather, both of whom had passed away years earlier. They didn't speak. They just walked over, touched my hand, and I felt an overwhelming sense of peace. To this day, I don't know if that was real or just a medication-induced hallucination. Either way, it brought me comfort during some of the hardest days of my recovery. Today, I'm healthy and cancer-free, just down one lung, hence the name. Thank you, ladies, for everything you do. Keep on keeping on. Jamie One Lung."
Jamie One Lung of the 1%. What a rare and horrifying. You go to the fucking urgent care, and they're like, maybe you should go immediately to the ER. This is the type of thing that I play out in my head all the time, Jamie, and I'm sorry that you had to live it, my dude. That is terrifying, having to wait 2 weeks.
Yeah, good on you for listening to your instincts and for whatever reason being like, I think I should go in. The waiting would be the hardest part because I would just be running through, am I going to make it to surgery weeks. Day? Like, could we not do this the same day? Same day surgery?
Right. I'm available. You guys available? I'm available. Also, when I read this initially, I really got this sense of sadness for you. And I'm sure you're happy because it had cancer in it. But I wonder what that, if like what you sort of go through when you do lose a part of you that you don't see. I lost my gallbladder, but it was killing me. So maybe it's similar. But also, I didn't ever really, I should have appreciated it at the time, but I didn't ever feel it to the extent that you could and like feel yourself breathing in. So I'm feel free to write a follow up, but I'm always fascinated about that idea, or anybody who's had anything removed. I'm very fascinated by just this idea that while it is, you know, simply a tissue or whatever, but like those transplant stories where when people get new ones, they're like, I like the violin all of a sudden. There's something to that. So that's fascinating. But I'm so happy that we got to hear your lore and that it was so positive that you got it out so quickly.
Yes, I'm sure you have to adjust your whole life. I mean, we have two lungs. You're down 50%. So I don't know what that looks like. I imagine you get winded faster, exercising and certain activities maybe are harder.
Blowing up balloons. I'm out, baby.
Here's blowing out candles.
If candles I'm okay with, but functionality-wise, like even if you were functionally fine, if anyone's like, hey, do you want to blow up these 15 balloons? You got to be like, I actually only have,
One lung.
I can't.
What are you asking?
Because like,
me?
Man, a friend of mine had a balloon blower upper and I was like, game changer. I'm not ever blowing another balloon up with my mouth again.
No, don't. Well, I'm so glad, Jamie, that while it was a dire diagnosis, I'm sure to hear it's contained, so we just got to get that out, has to be a relief.
Absolutely. And you're being alone in the ICU, isolated in a, recovering from this scary surgery and seeing those two folks, I don't think is a rare occurrence. I think people have reported whether it's corporeally looks like someone they know or just the warmth of a presence, that the touch of the hand kind of thing. And it's a fascinating phenomenon to understand what it is, whether it is some sort of energetic visitation or something that you have the power within you to kind of conjure on your own to make yourself feel calm. Either way, if it felt real, isn't it nice that it was shaped like grandma and grandpa?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jamie One Lung, for sending that in.
I feel like a badass for knowing Jamie One
Lung. When I saw this come in on JotForm, I was like, the Jamie One Lung has reached out to us? We get the lore?
I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Any more lore, please drop it our way. Sinister Hood will be right back.
Sinister Hood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, now we get to get into the one taste section.
I was just taking a nice drink of my drink over here so I get my mouth all wet to read these stories.
For these next few stories.
That will be exactly 15 minutes, so please lie back and enjoy. Well, this first one is from my daughter, and the subject line is one taste. emoji. And Anonymous writes, thanks for reading my story. I actually think it's important for families to be aware of how some people spiral into a place where they can be manipulated by a cult leader. My stepsister, Laura, is the sweetest person in the world. Ever since childhood, she's been full of heart, empathy, kindness, a love of animals. She's a literal Snow White. By her late teens, early 20s, this was in the 80s, we just thought it was a phase. But she started getting a little weird, for lack of a better term. She dropped out of college and lived on the beach in Hawaii. This didn't surprise me. She'd always been wrapped so tight, so people-pleasing. It had to be a huge relief to check out like that. It was the first unnoticed sign. Next, she moved to Wisconsin because she had a dream about it and thought it was a sign. Then she drove to Mississippi. Her car broke down in Jackson, so she stayed there, thinking it was a sign. I was only in my teens while this was going on, and like I said, it was the 80s. But she was failed so many times by the people who should have protected her. I guess they just didn't know what to do. But let me make myself clear right here. If she were my child, I would have figured out how to help her. Neither of her parents stepped in to help. Looking back, I don't know how much of this I can actually blame on 80s parenting. Having kids of my own, I think it's pretty clear that she needed help. We're a big family. No one stepped in. Jump ahead 20 years. She lives closer to home, but has no address. She opts for sleeping in her car and showering at the Y. She inherited enough money to buy a house to either live in or rent out for income. But instead, she went to Disneyland for weeks at a time. She also started sending a lot of money to, quote, someone in Africa who she thought she was sending to college. Then this Nicole Daydone came along and Laura jumped in with both feet. All she talked about was orgasms. When I told her not to talk about it in front of my school-age kids, I was the prudish problem. She acquired a boyfriend who was 20 years her senior and who struggled with alcohol. Neither of them were employable. However, we had a number of entertaining Sunday dinners, especially when my aunt thought that they met at a, quote, organization seminar and asked if she could join them. Most recently, my stepsister spent months in New York, sleeping in shelters, couch surfing with other cult members, or just plain walking around New York all night, all so she could show up to court to support her, quote, friend, Nicole, at her trial. Needless to say, I'm disgusted by multiple people in this story, none of which are my stepsister. My stepsister, who told us so much just by using all her money to go to Disneyland for weeks at a time. I do judge my stepmother a lot for this, but I guess she's broken too. Thank you for your stories, your research, and your eagerness to do and say the right things for marginal groups of people. We're all in the same lifeboat. Be a lot better if we try to understand and have empathy for all. Stay groovy.
Oh, Anonymous, I couldn't agree more. And I also agree that your stepsister was failed. There's some things that parents should just step in for. And, you know, those are the people that are supposed to keep you safe and protected. And if you see that your kid is making choices that, while maybe freeing, might also be dangerous and not the best or most healthy, it's up to you to step in and say something.
Yeah, especially, you know, early on, or if she's kind of got, she's making large financial thinking or large financial decisions based on magical thinking, yeah, of, you know, this is a sign, I've got to do it. I mean, it's hard to control an adult who just makes bad decisions. But if someone is chronically unstable, chronically insecure, like financially insecure by choices that they made, that might show they have an issue with impulse regulation, executive functioning, whatever. And it could be indicative of a long-term mental health condition. But we also used to have to say, in analyzing whether people were able to make decisions for themselves, like, you're also allowed to just make bad choices.
Yeah.
You know, that's not something to take somebody's rights away, but it sucks when you kind of can see someone's bad choice make them more and more and more and more vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. Stepping in doesn't have to look like you stop them, but checking in to, you know, how's everything going? Are you okay? Do you have everything you need? We're a little concerned because while Disneyland's super fun, you know, I mean, that does seem like an impulsive, almost manic decision to be like, instead of using money for rent, I'm going to just go to Magic Mountain 1,000 mm-hmm. times. Those are things that an adult typically would not choose. Mm-hmm. So if an adult, even if they are a child and they're adult, are making those decisions, I think it's cause for concern.
No, absolutely. And especially when groups like Nicole's are looking for people who are not only vulnerable insofar as financially vulnerable, so maybe more willing to move into a communal living situation because, you know, you're already either living that way or you don't have anywhere else to live, but also people that are very empathetic, caring, describing Laura as caring about, you know, animals and other mm-hmm. people and everything. So all that to say is the behaviors are not necessarily to the point that, you know, someone needs a conservatorship or whatnot. But I think you're absolutely right, Anonymous, when someone's acting in repeated ways that indicate a pattern. It could be insert underlying disorder, insert underlying response to trauma, insert underlying neurodivergence or whatever. It's something that, you know, you don't have the responsibility of diagnosing as a family member. But I think you're right. As much as possible, folks trying to help someone get in that direction, but also like at what point, you know, somebody's in their 50s or 60s and are just like, yeah, this is how I am. This is how I'm always going to be.
Then you love them and support them as best as you can.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry to see that. I'm sorry that your auntie asked if she could join them at the organization seminar.
Oh, she's how like, confused she would have been.
I've got 15 minutes. I'd love to learn about organization. And they're like, no, 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 Aunt Gladys,
maybe
you cannot.
She shows up and is like, oh, this is way better than what I was thinking I was going to come to.
You're about to organize this pussy. Oh, what a time. Well, thank you, Anonymous, my dear daughter. And you know what? I hope your stepsister removes herself from those clutches.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, another of my daughters, Anonymous, wrote in this next one, and the subject line is, "We used to go see the purple people." Hi, ladies. Hope you're thriving. What can I say about you two other than what is there not to love? You both are amazing. I had to write in and tell you about my experience with the purple people. When you started the One Taste episode this week, I chuckled when you mentioned Lafayette Morehouse. I was like, oh, I grew up close to there. And then I immediately thought, that's funny, another cult in the same town. When I was in high school, we used to drive around to local spots. The farm with ostriches, Gravity Hill, and the Purple People were another spot we went to. The Purple People were a well-known place with a lot of lore, much of which I thought was urban legend. It's been over 20 years, but if I remember correctly, the rumors all surround it being a sex cult. People said that if you went and knocked on the door, you could be added to the sex cult. The rumor said that teenagers would go up to the door and never come back. It said that you could go to the surrounding hills and see them in their purple robes at their purple house doing weird stuff, particularly explicit. Other people would say you could see them perform sex acts sometimes. On many occasions, I went to see the Purple People house, but I never saw the robes or the sex acts. I kind of thought it was all made up until today. So when you started talking about Morehouse and the purple robes, I was shooketh. I cannot believe the urban legend is seated in truth. And it was a real sex cult. I can't say I've ever actually seen them or that I could go back to the house we used to go to. Who knows? We might have had the wrong address and just been creeping on some random person's house. But the urban legend around the Purple People was well known in my area. Thanks so much for reading this. Oh, anonymous.
It's true.
It's real the whole time. Yeah, we talked about it very briefly in the episode. Ellen Hewitt talks about it a little bit more in her book, though, that they had these velvet robes when they would box out front on purpose because of exactly what you're talking about. They wanted people to see, get curious, and because it was a zero cost to join commune, you knock on the door and they're like, do you want to see a lady coming for an hour?
Yeah.
People
and
might be like
17-year-old high school kid. You're like, fuck yeah. Where do I sign?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and he's like, would you like decaf ground coffee with rum and sweetened in it? But yeah, I think your childhood memories are 100% right. Because they painted the houses purple on purpose to get more attention and everything. So that kind of branding, it clearly stuck.
Man, there were certain urban legend places in Fort Worth that we would drive to in high school that had various lore attached to them. None as exciting as this, but this unlocked a memory of just driving around with friends, like to go see just like a weird house for the 50th time, just because you're driving around and want something to do.
Oh yeah. Our mesquite days, we would say like, that's where the devil worshipers are. Mm-hmm. We got to go drive over there and see. And there'd be like a dirty mattress just because like someone threw it out and we're like, that's it. Oh my God. You know, but to find out later, be like, no, actually it was a cult that was surrounded around you. Like what? It was real. Cause you think as a kid, like you remember these things that you thought as a kid, and in with your adult lens, think, well, we like you said, clearly we made that up. It was probably just some random person's house until you listen to Sinisterhood and we're like, baby, your dreams were real.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, if you ever go back into your old stomping grounds, see if you can spot the purple house. It shouldn't be hard to find unless they've painted a different color.
Right. And they probably sold it. I think it's defunct. But imagine you're the people that own the house and you're like, we like the purple. I think we're going to keep it. But then you get people like, you guys got any naked ladies in there? You're like, I'm sorry. We are just trying to sleep. We've got three cats.
We do not.
So you guys got pussy in there? Yes, it's not the kind you want to see, though. It's a tabby cat. She's a stray anyway. But yeah, I think you'd have to repaint.
Yeah, you got to repaint for sure.
If you're out trying to just get your paper.
It might be a teardown. I don't know that I can know about that many people being stroked in my living room and like, be cool with it.
These hardwood floors have swollen. You're like, it's a teardown. To the studs, baby. Well, thank you very much for sending that one in, Anonymous. Yes. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this final one is from Brooke, and the subject line is, "The time One Taste tried to recruit me into their weird little love nest." Hi, Christy and Heather. First, I just want to say thank you both for doing what you do. In all of the craziness in this world, y'all are truly a weekly anchor for me. I really appreciate how outspoken you are and how you consistently advocate for marginalized communities and for good. I've written in before about my experience living in Indonesia during the tsunami and how my school principal was impacted. Thank you again for reading it on air. Whether or not this makes it, I hope you enjoy this absolutely wild ride. Because I just listened to your episode covering One Taste and I immediately realized I have a listener story. So picture it. It's 2016, I'm in my mid-20s, and I'm working downtown Austin at a startup with a bunch of other young employees. You know the vibe. We're all grossly underpaid, a little over-caffeinated, and we're basically living off iced coffee and food trailers. And at the time, I was dating a guy from work, which is already such a young startup in Austin thing to do. Plot twist, he is now my husband, so honestly, it worked out beautifully. Most days at lunch, I'd either go with a group of coworkers or go out with him. We were always in some little lunch pack migrating around downtown to whichever food trailer smelled the best. But one day, everyone's schedules were off. My coworkers weren't free, my boyfriend wasn't free, and for once, I ended up going to my favorite kebab place completely alone. So I order, and I'm standing off to the side waiting for my food, minding my own business, living my peaceful little lunch life, when a random man approaches me. I remember him being pretty short, totally average looking, kind of nondescript. Not threatening, not weird looking, just a man. A man existing near a kebab truck. He stops right in front of me and he goes, "Do you believe in love for everyone?" And I'm like, "Excuse me?" He repeats it again, fully serious. "Do you believe in love for everyone?" Now, in my mind, I'm immediately thinking this is going to be something about supporting the LGBTQ plus community. Like maybe this guy is recruiting for a nonprofit or pride or something wholesome. So I'm like, "Well, yes, I think everyone deserves love and has the right to love whoever they want." And he's like, "Wow, that's really beautiful. I can tell you're a really loving person." Which, respectfully, sir, I was just trying to get my lunch, but okay. He keeps asking me these questions about love and how powerful it is. And he tells me he works for this organization that believes in love for everyone. Then he asks if I would ever want to volunteer. And because I was in my 20s and still had hope for humanity, I'm like, "Yeah, sure." So I give him my number because back then I was fast and loose with my number, apparently. My food gets called. I grab my kebab, politely escape, and go back to work. Cut to later that week. I start getting voicemails from a woman saying she's calling because I met her colleague, let's call him Matthew, and Matthew told her I was so aligned with their beliefs and they were excited to meet me. And she goes, "We're from an organization called One Taste." And I remember thinking that is the worst name imaginable for a charity. So I do what any normal person does. I go to Google. And you guys, when I tell you my soul left my body, because I find out One Taste is about orgasmic meditation, not volunteering, not supporting love, not handing out flyers. No, it's basically someone puts on gloves, puts you in what they call a nest, and then does that. And I just remember sitting there like, so when this man walked up to me in broad daylight at the kebab truck in Austin and asked if I believe in love for everyone, what he meant was, "Would you like to join a sex cult and get in a weird beanbag?" And yeah, what the actual fuck? The wildest part was that in the voicemails and in the interaction, there was zero mention of anything sexual. Like, I truly thought I was signing up to volunteer at a pride booth or something. So, of course, I told my boyfriend, now husband, because we worked together, and I was like, "You are never going to believe what just happened to me on my lunch break." And when I explained it, he laughed so hard at the idea that one time that I went to lunch by myself alone, some random guy was like, "Perfect time to recruit her to a sex cult." Like, sir, I just wanted my kebab. I also warned all my friends at work that if anyone ever approaches them and asks, do you believe in love for everyone? No, no, you do not. You keep walking. You protect your peace. You guard your beanbag. Because they called me for weeks after that meeting trying to get me to come in. And I was like, I cannot believe I almost got tricked into a cult because I just wanted lunch. Anyway, I love you both. Thanks again for covering this. And please know, downtown Austin food trucks are apparently a recruitment hotspot for sex cults. Your biggest fan, Brooke.
Oh, Brooke. God, man, I get it. I get it. You're hungry. You're alone.
Hungry.
You just think somebody's has good intentions. And what's crazy is, how do they think one would not Google and find out what's going on? So to not mention it in all of these voicemails, it's like getting on a fucking like credit card spam call list where they just won't leave you alone.
This sounded like whenever me and my classmate in New Orleans jokingly were like, we're going to go to Scientology as part of our class assignment. And when we signed up on the website, we started getting like 4 calls a day, 5 calls a day. I mean, it was just constant to the point I'm like, I have to just block all these numbers. And my professor told us both, you don't actually have to go. Like, this seems like it's endangering you. Like, please don't accidentally. She You're probably like, would have felt so you. Bad. Yeah. But if I was like, I came back, I was like, but I'm clear now, professor. Do I get an A? She'd be like, no. But no, the intense recruitment, and honestly, 2016, this is around the time that some of the victims complained about the long working hours, how they were told, like, don't sleep until you've closed all of these deals. So, of course, if you said, yeah, I believe in love, they're like, very enthusiastic. You should call her. And you know, Matthew is probably a master stroker and didn't even tell you. Just unassuming guy.
You didn't even know you were talking to a master stroker.
No. Amongst our research, I just saw a very crazy video of Theo Vaughn, the comedian slash podcaster in 2018, recounting to Nikki Glaser his time in the One Taste organization.
What?
And that, yes, he said, he said he got out of it.
How do I not know this?
I don't know how I missed it until I was pulling photos for the social media posts, and I was dying because he said he stroked about 30 different women.
No, he did not. Yes. Theo Vaughn? Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
He got on the app. He said that they had an app, a One Taste app, and you could meet up with people. But he goes, I got in there, man. And he said something so funny in one of the sessions that it made a lady fart. But he said he stopped stroking because he went up to this woman's house in Topanga Canyon and I got bit by a Bichon. He said a Bichon Frise came out of nowhere and bit him. So he said he goes, it's hard enough to try to bite off a little dog, not to mention while you're pleasuring a woman.
So he was going into people's homes, not even
he did it.
A clinic.
He said he started out at, you know, an introductory workshop where they watched it happen. And then he said he went to another workshop where you paired off. And he said, I got paired off and I did it. And then he said it was like a, you know, a carousel. Like, we switched partners, like who we were doing. And he's like, I tell you what, because he said, you don't do anything. And you do your thing. And you're walking around the rest of the day like, I got magic in these fingers. But like, you imagine that you go to one of these events and they're like, we're going to pair you with a random partner. And you turn and he's like, hey, baby. You're like, Theo Vaughn? What?
No, I cannot imagine that.
Incredible.
But he drops the craziest lore. So I can't say I'm surprised that this is part of his history.
Nikki Glaser's like, what? It's just like, tell me everything.
Yes, please.
And she definitely got him to spill the beans on it. But
he'll spill the beans. Then I'll
spill something. He said, I was doing it, man. I'll tell you, from left and right, man, ladies was psh, squirt popping off everywhere around me.
No.
Like, Theo, stop it.
Theo. But
gloved
up.
Yeah, he was gloved up. He talked about it. He's like, it's very clinical, gloved up. But he was into it. This was 2018. And I think he said, quote unquote, a couple years ago. So I think he was not currently doing it at the time of this interview in 2018, but had some experience in it. And it was kind of, again, it sounds like one of those things where, if you go to this workshop and you do it once and you kind of learn it or whatever, but it wasn't, you know, Theo Vaughn did not get sucked into the cult side of it.
Yeah.
The operation.
Well, Brooke, you could have had Theo Vaughn stroking you. That's all I'm going to say.
You're like, and you could have had a kebab and that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. But I wonder what other celebrities might have done it. Because I talked to an attorney came and spoke. She was a former district attorney in Los Angeles. And she spoke to our class once in law school. And we were like, was there anyone famous in jury duty? And she was like, yeah. And like they basically have to be like, I'm Adam Sandler. Like, you know, you like can see it's Adam Sandler. Yeah.
We know.
Yeah. And I'm like, I bet they never get chosen for a case. She was like, no, it's like, it's very distracting to have Conan O'Brien on the jury.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Can't. Plus, like, you'd have paparazzi. And then, once that they're allowed to talk about it, that's all they would talk about, probably, unless it was like a heinous case. And then you fucked up Conan, and we don't get late night anymore because he's too traumatized.
Because you'd be like Toby with the Scranton Strangler, like, I think we put away an innocent man. I have to solve this for a crime. So, yeah, I want to send that in. If you're an attorney or if you've ever been on jury duty with a celebrity, I want to know celebrity jury duty stories. That sounds awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, like the show Jury Duty.
Yeah. Oh, God,
man. What a fucking great show that was.
Shout out to, what's his name, Ron? He's gave me hope for humanity.
I honestly don't remember, but
I think Ronald was his name. Yeah.
Such a wholesome thing to watch.
If you haven't watched that and you're going to get iced in this weekend, that's a good binge series. Because we watched it a little bit when we were on tour, and we'd watch a couple episodes at a time, and it's just such a wild ride. Don't let anybody spoil it for you either. But
truly.
What a time, Brooke. Well, I'm glad you escaped with no rubber gloves on you. Just the one in the kebab truck putting your sandwich together.
They called it a nest either. I don't remember seeing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they call it a nest. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, they do call it a nest.
Guard your beanbag, everybody.
Do it. They're going to come for it. Literally.
Well, thank you, Brooke, for sending that in. And for everyone that sent in your brushes with one taste and all of your other stories. We appreciate all of them. If you're watching on YouTube, with your glove. Well, if you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access to the wonderful chat, the unedited videos before they go to YouTube, and a whole backlog of free content on Patreon just for signing up.
And we also offer free trials. Free trials are where you join at any of the tiers, stick around for a week and binge everything, and then cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. It is a great time to do that because on Thursday, January 29th at 8:30 p.m. Central, we are having our quarterly live bonus content. The votes are on now through Monday. So far, Rural Mesquite Facebook posts are winning, but we also have Am I the Asshole, the classic, as well as Best of Redditor updates. So go, if you sign up for a free trial this week at the Getting Into It tier, you could vote, you could join the quarterly BOCO, but if you stick around, you get so many more things, including month free for an annual membership.
You do. You get over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates on true crime. Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Am I the Asshole and Popular Opinions and other subreddits that we feel require our input. In addition to all of that, you get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Speaking of merch discounts, use it over on our website. Head to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner. And then you can check out all kinds of merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And check the pin post on Patreon to get your discount code.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We'd love 5 stars. So, and thank you just so much to everybody who's left them. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists.
Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or trying to treat yourself, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever you want to celebrate, we would love to celebrate with you by creating a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. We like to do tarot pulls to get your year kicked off. For some advice, we could do some tarot pulls or just give you our own advice as well. Not only is it an incredibly thoughtful gift for someone else, but it's something you could treat yourself with and do it from the comfort of your own home. So go over to cameo.com/sinisterhood to get the best price directly on the web. And where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm found everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Protect that bean bag.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.